sometimes God wants to move us forward and out of something, but our tradition says that we can't do that because that's what we've always done. This is the way we do it here. And churches get caught up into a routine. We get caught up into a mold, a way that at the time may even be the right way. But God is wanting us to step out of what was into what is. Because we are moving. We're moving forward. You cannot stay in what was and get into what is. And if you try to stay in what was, you're going to miss what is. You're going to miss what God is doing if you try to stay in tradition, if you try to stay in what was, what may be even comfortable. You see, tradition for us is predictable, therefore it's comfortable. You know, we can pretty much figure out what's going to happen when we go. But faith is not, you know, operating in the predictable. Often God is stretching you into the unpredictable, into the place where you don't have the control anymore. We want to hold on to things because they're comfortable for us. We want to hold on to the past because, you know, that's sometimes a point of reference for us. Some people, you know, they can't let go of their past, and because of that, they can't go forward. And it's because it's something that maybe even in my mind, if it's in my mind, I can hold on to and feel secure in. Because to walk by faith means that I have to let go of everything. Everything. And now I have to embrace Christ. Now I have to really, fully trust the Lord. And because our natural person does not like being in a place of not being in control, we fight against that, and we very easily get into patterns and the routines and the structures. Even in Pentecostal circles, we get stuck in patterns and ways that we've been doing it for so many years. But if we're not careful, we're going to miss what God is doing because we're coming with an expectation that it's supposed to look like this. We're coming with already a preconceived idea of what's going to happen, for example. How many have discovered that when you come to church with a preconceived idea of what's going to take place, it can sometimes discourage you from even going? So when we come, and we need to come with an expectation of God's going to do something fresh, there's going to be fresh manna, there's going to be a something there that I hadn't seen before, I hadn't experienced before. It's a new day, and we cannot live in what was and try to hold on to that, and in some cases make idols out of what was. I mean, I was in a church one time, you know, they had all those little placards on the side of the pews. Sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so gave, you know, donated that. And there's nothing wrong with that, except that you'll notice that Sister so-and-so sits in the same pew that has her name on it. And then when the visitor comes in, Sister so-and-so has a problem because the visitor's now sitting in her seat. And, I mean, I can look out here tonight, and you guys, when you come, it's all right to sit there, by the way. But I can pretty much, if I have a snapshot of what's going on here, I can see Phil over here, these guys over here. We're creatures of habit. And you know, it's not all bad. But what God does often is He shakes it up. He messes that up. He may have a visitor sit in your seat, for example. And for some people, that's a big deal. That's where I sit. We don't do that here, but, you know, I've seen it in the past. And, well, we just don't, you know, that's, our seat belongs to our guest, amen, to the guest. God is constantly bringing us into new place, new territory, and taking us up higher, and taking out the, you know, the blinders sometimes to where we've just got everything so predictable in our minds that this is the way it's going to look, this is the way it's supposed to be. And when God does something, you know, we're very quick to try to get a hold of that and try to repeat it. You know? I mean, Jesus didn't go around spitting in everybody's eye. We read that one time, right? Do you see Jesus ever repeating a miracle, doing it exactly the same way twice? Do you see throughout Scripture where all the, you know, the patriarchs and matriarchs and the people of faith, how they walked with God and the miraculous was a way of life for them because they did walk by faith? When we walk by faith, the miraculous should be a way of life for us. Would you agree? But do you ever see them doing and repeating the same thing? Religion does that, doesn't it? We get it into a pattern. Well, we walk down the aisle and we light the candles and we swing the incense jar, or we, you know, even in Pentecostal circles, we, you know, we do our five songs and, you know, we do the fast ones and then we do the slow ones. And sometimes God just wants to shake us out of that because he doesn't want us to get gelled in a marred state. He wants his people to stay flexible. He pours his holy oil into us so that we are flexible as wineskins. We are containers of God. Amen. And it's the oil that would be worked into that wineskin so that it was able to stretch again even and to be able to contain new wine. So God wants to move us on from where we were. We should not be today where we were a year ago. But God is a God of new beginnings and bringing us into new territory because we are a pilgrim people. We are camping out. We are living in temporary dwellings, in booths, Feast of Tabernacles, right? But we're making our way to Canaan. We're making our way to glory. And he moves us in the midst of that from glory to glory, from faith to faith. Faith is beyond what I can do naturally. Otherwise, it would not be faith at all. And a lot of church life revolves around that which we can just do. Right? Naturally. And we think that's spiritual. Now, there are things that we do in the natural, such as we need to clean the toilets. We need to, you know, take care of the building. We need to take care of these things. That can be a spiritual act. When you are in compliance and alliance with the Holy Spirit and doing what God has told you to do. And you do it unto him with a heart of thanksgiving and gratitude. April takes care of the kitchen. She does it with a good heart, a good attitude. She's doing it under the Lord. She's not doing it for me. Amen? She's doing it for Jesus. Yeah. And she's understanding that she's a part, you know, of a team. We're a company. And we have different assignments. But one is not greater than the other. Every one is important. And I want to ask you something. This is something that at the last Eagle's Nest meeting that got brought up, and I want to just throw this out tonight because I thought, you know, this is something that we need to listen to as well. First of all, we know that the main three things that we should be about as God's people is, number one, is to love God. And as you know, to love God, you know, you've got to know God. Because he's love. You cannot love a God that you don't know until you know his heart. And his love is revealed to you when he reveals his love to us. When he loves on us as he does, we begin to love him. we find out how good God is, how pleasurable He is, how delightful He is, how we just want to be with Him because He loves me. He's good to me. He takes care of me. He lavishes His grace on me. He went to the cross for me. He went all the way to the cross for me. He loves me that much. And as I get to know Him, I get to know Him and love Him more. So loving God is personal. It's not about just doing the commandments. When Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, He wasn't talking about just doing the rules, and that's loving God. He wanted us to get beyond the surface of just doing the rules to the heart of God. He came to reveal the heart of the Father to us. Under the law, it was the rules. But when you come to know the heart of the Father, then Father's rules are not grievous. They're pleasurable. You don't mind. I like doing what pleases my Father because I love Him. He loves me. And you want to please those who you love. So to love God is the greatest commandment of all. And to love others, to love your neighbor as yourself. And you can't do the second unless you really are, amen, engaging the first. Or at least you're taking the step to love people. You're making a decision, a choice to love people. And when you're loving people who you see, you're loving Him who you don't see. And then, every single one of us has been called to serve. Amen. We've been called to serve. If you're not serving the Lord, you're not walking in your purpose. He saved you so that you would now serve others. How do we serve God, folks? It's by loving people, by ministering to people, by loving people. That's how we serve God. We minister to the Lord in song. We give Him thanks. We praise His name. But you know, ultimately, Father is delighted when He sees you and I doing something for someone else. When He sees you and I living and walking like Jesus in this world. We are to be like Jesus in this world. Now, when I say that, we all say, well, that's quite a gap. Well, that's a good thing because the gap means that there's room for growth. If you don't see a gap, that's not a good thing because then you get stuck in complacency and just think everything is, well, everything's fine. But to see the gap, to see the incompleteness is a good thing so that you'll pursue Him who is able to complete you. And to bring you in, amen, to that place, that high call. His ultimate purpose for your life to be fulfilled. And so when we engage in the service of the Lord, I want to ask you something tonight. What is it that you would consider as an individual a win? A win for you. A win. You know, like we're playing baseball.
I know what my win was.
Yeah.
When I was so sick with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I believed the Lord had healed me.
When it comes to what Jesus has called you and I to do, right? What the assignment that God has given you and I, what would we consider to be a win, or what would you consider to be a base hit? Let me give you something. If we bring one soul to Jesus, the Bible says the angels in heaven rejoice. That is exciting to see a soul come to Jesus. Amen? But folks, how many know that's only a base hit? God's goal is to reach nations. And when we think about winning, even in your own life, in your own ministry, in your own experience, what about the nursery? You know, it's hard to get people to volunteer for the nursery, often because our perception of what we're doing is, well, I'm just here babysitting. And so you don't feel like there's anything beneficial for you to be there other than take care of these little brats and, you know, blow their nose and... Here now, he said. But can we see beyond, see that as just being a something I got to do? Yeah, but look at it in the light that this is something that I get to do. This is a little life that is now, you know, given to me to pour into, to pray over. You know, how many know the nursery is a ministry?
Yes.
But if people don't feel like they're winning or that they're, you know, there's anything there other than just babysitting, then very quickly we just kind of lose interest. It's amazing how many people begin something. They volunteer for something in church and they may do it for a couple weeks and then all of a sudden it's like they're not doing it anymore. They're not interested anymore. They've lost interest. What has happened? Why is that?
They don't understand the value.
No fruit of what they're doing.
They don't understand the value of what they're doing? Okay. Yeah?
They're not doing it for the Lord. They're doing it for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Whatever we do in word and deed, do all to the glory of God, right?
Yeah.
Whatever we do it unto Him, and we do it with our heart. We give Him our best. It doesn't matter if you're punching a clock, amen, in a factory. I've done lots of that. Whatever we find ourselves doing, we do unto Him. When you live unto the Lord, when you live for His pleasure, for His glory, then even your employer is going to be pleased with you. When you know that God is there with you in everything you do, He's there with you when your boss is away. He's there with you when the employees begin to gossip and say things they should not. When you realize God is with you, then it can change your perspective. That I'm not here just to punch a clock and to get a paycheck. I'm actually on assignment. I'm on my mission field. Whether you work at Fred Meyer, you know, at the hospital, there's so many different places that God will place us. However, wherever you find yourself, that is your assignment. That is where you need to be salt, where you need to be light. And it's not about, you know, just being seen by the boss so that I get a promotion. What we want to do is make sure that we have pleased the Lord in what we've done. That we did it unto Him. Whether your boss recognizes you or not is beside the point. Okay, I know nobody's ever complained that they've been overlooked for a promotion or the boss didn't notice what they did or... Huh? Regardless of what the boss thinks... What matters is that you have done it unto Him. You are living for eternity. You are storing your treasure in heaven. And so you need to discover what it is in your personal life that you consider a life goal, a win. Some people, it's just getting into heaven. Folks, I don't want just getting into heaven to be a win for me. I mean, yes, I want to win. I want to get there. Yes. But I want to get there with an abundant welcome. With a well done, my good and faithful servant. How many want to have a grand entrance into heaven? I do.
You bet.
That's a shift of priorities, isn't it? It's like, what are we really here for? What really matters? What is going to last when it's all said and done? Only what we've done for Jesus. What is a win? To me, a win is bringing souls to Jesus. To me, a win is having Jesus say, "Well done." To me, a win is advancing the kingdom in the earth. To me, a win is reaching nations, reaching peoples, amen, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We get base hits along the way, amen. We reach a soul here, a soul there. You know, we have a victory here. We get a healing there. You know, those are nice things that God does for us along the way. We could call that maybe a base hit. But ultimately, that is not the win. That's not the game, amen. We want to win the game. We want to reach the finish line. And we don't want any garbage, amen, dragging along behind us. We've got to get into position where we've gotten rid of all the weights, all the distractions, all of the lesser things that God is not asking you to allow in your life. And we've got to get to the place where we say, "Lord, I'm giving it all up for you." And He may not have you change much in your life even by doing that. But you need to be willing, if He says get rid of that, to get rid of it. He may tell you, "I want you to quit your job. I want you to move to Africa." If we truly belong to Him, if we are truly people that love God and believe God, even if it was take your son and offer him as a sacrifice, as Abraham, are we willing to love God and obey Him even to the extreme that, and from every natural perspective, is crazy? How could God ask me to do such a thing? You see, God tested Abraham, didn't He? And He tests us as well, folks. Sometimes He's telling you, "I want you to sell all you have and give to the poor," like He did the young ruler. Amen. Jesus was testing him. How many know that He would have had a treasure beyond anything He could have imagined if He was willing to love and serve Jesus in that and to give it up for Him? We think that we're going to be losing something by giving it up for God. If I give it up my time, if I have to, you know, give up my soap operas, if I have to give up my sitcoms, or my, hopefully you're not watching those, that junk, but if I have to give up, you know, my fishing or my hunting or my this or my that, or whatever it is that you may find pleasurable and consider to be something valuable in your life, God may test you in that, and I'm sure He's going to, if He hasn't already. There are things in my life that I used to do that I really enjoyed, that I did all the time, that now I don't do that anymore. And guess what? I don't even miss it. I am finding my delight in the will of God. I don't have time for a lot of stuff that was not wrong in itself. Are you hearing me? But it was a hindrance. It was a distraction. It was something that was eating up valuable time that I could be committing to God and His service and living for eternity. God is raising up those who will say, "I'm willing to go. I'm willing to deny myself, take up my cross and follow You. I'm willing to do whatever You tell me to do, God. If You want me to give it all away, I'll give it all away." And He may test you. He may tell you to do that, folks. And He's only waiting for you to say yes. And then He says, "Well, don't touch your son. Don't lay your hand on the lad. Because now I know that you believe Me. Now I know that you truly trust Me." And he became the friend of God. We want to be friends of God. Amen. We can be His kids, folks, but there's something called friendship with God. And friendship with God is for those who choose to walk by faith and not by sight. It means I have to forsake my old ways of thinking, my old patterns. It may mean that you need to dump your religion, dump the practices that you're so familiar with, the ways of doing church, so that we may experience the new thing that God is doing in the Spirit. There are so many people that are missing out on the fresh manna, the fresh move, the new wine of God, because they're stuck in an old wineskin of predictability, of tradition, of the way we've always done it. And they're not in position to receive what God wants to lavish in their life so that we might advance the kingdom and not play church. You hear me say this a lot, but how much of the stuff that we've done, especially in most, church circles, Catholic, Protestant, it doesn't matter. They have traditions and ways of doing things. Ritual. But where is it? Is it in the Word of God? No, it's not in the Word of God. It's just something that we like to do. We just like to do it this way. This is the way we do it. What if God says, flush that? I don't want you doing it that way anymore. He wouldn't say it that way, would he? He might. He may say, forsake it. You need to do... I'm telling you to meet at Starbucks next Sunday.
All right. Yeah.
No, that can't be Lord, no. We need to go to the house of God. This is a building. That's all it is. It's a building that God gave us, and we sanctify this in the sense that we pray, amen, the parameter of God's blessing and protection over this place where we meet. But you can do that wherever you're at. And we get religious because, well, we got to go to the synagogue, or we got to go to the chapel, or we got to go to whatever it is, because that's where God lives. God lives and that's His house. This is not God's house. This is God's house.
Yes.
We are God's house.
Yes.
And this is a place, amen, a building that God has given us, a house He's given us that we meet in. It's a meeting hall. Yeah. And so wherever we go, we are the house of God. We are carriers of His glory. Wherever Jesus went, amen, God was there. Now He gave us His Holy Spirit so that wherever we go, God would be there in us, so that the fragrance of Christ can be manifested in every place. We can be the light and the salt. Amen? So we need to let go of certain things that God is going to call you to do, to get you into position. Now, you know what? God will not force you. God will say, I want you to do this. If you do this, I will bless you beyond anything you ever thought possible. But He'll never force you to do it. But if you listen, if you're willing to obey Him, if you're willing to do it His way, even if it doesn't make logical sense, even if it doesn't make sense on paper, if you listen to what God says, because He will test you sometimes to see if you really trust Him, if you really believe Him, if you're willing to step out of the boat and go with Jesus, then you will see the glory of God. Then you will see the greater works of God. Folks, I'm believing for greater works. I'm willing to give up lesser things for greater things. Because we, amen, are living for eternity. We are eternal creatures. And we are storing up our treasure in heaven. So whatever God's assignment is for you, you need to listen. You need to do it. If you want God's favor, there are many Christians who will never step outside of the box of comfort. I thank God that you guys are radical enough to do that, though. You're just that radical. But a lot of folks will just stay within the comfort zone, the cocoon of predictability. And they can miss the greater riches. The greater things that God has promised to those who love Him. Those who love Him are those who obey Him. Those who are willing to trust Him. There are people who are not willing to save their lives when it comes down to it. If they hold a gun up to your head and say, reject Christ, renounce Christ. To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
It's actually an honor to die for Jesus. We don't kill ourselves like some do. Amen. Thinking they're doing God a favor. But if it comes down to it and we need to lay our lives down for Jesus, it should be an honor to do so. Because we know that we'll have a better resurrection. And so if we're trying to save ourselves by staying in the cocoon of predictability, we're going to miss the move of God. We will. We will miss the high calling. We will miss the eternal treasure that God wants to bestow and release into your life. Amen? So I don't know about you, but I have found something that is so far greater than the temporary things that God has told me to get rid of. I have been told to get rid of things before. God has told me to give things away before. Only to find out that God gave it back to me and even better than what I had before. It was only a test. But it seemed like, oh God, how can I do this? Do you trust me, he says. Do you really trust me? If you really trust me, then you're going to do whatever I tell you. Whatever I say, you'll do. Okay, that was the introduction. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 13. We're just going to look at one scripture tonight. Matthew 13, verse 44. Chapter 13 of Matthew, verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Yeah, I've been touching on this the last couple, I think, Sunday evenings, folks, about where your treasure is. And when we find something of superior value, it may not be something that you may even be able to know exactly where it's at. It's something that may need to be sought out, that you need to search for. But if you know that it's there and you know that it's possible to receive or to attain it, then you're going to be willing to make some sacrifices that you might get a hold of that, which is at this point invisible. Faith is like that. Faith is pursuing something that you don't see, but that you know is there. There are things that God has right there in His hand that's invisible to us, but it's right there. And what we want to do is see that which is in His hand become manifested here. Amen? We want to see His kingdom come and His will be done. That which is in heaven, we want to see on the earth. We want to see heaven invade earth. We want that superior reality to come into this inferior reality. We want the kingdom to come and the will of God to be done. And so if you realize and you can see by faith what God is offering to you, then it will shift something within you and it will create hunger. It will create a desire. even to deny yourself maybe some food for a season. It may cause you to deny yourself some other things that you might very easily be able to indulge yourself with in this world. But by doing so, you would not be able to receive that which is of superior value. Are you with me? Some of you are. We have a treasure in the heavens. Amen? We have a treasure. Christ is our exceeding great reward. He is our pearl of great price. He is that which is so desirable that He's worth giving everything up for. Selling everything we have so we'll have enough to purchase, amen, that field even. Because we know if we get the field, we get the treasure too. Are you seeing it? And when we get a glimpse, it's called vision. Vision is, I heard it said this way, who you want to be when you grow up. What is your end game? What is the win for you? What is your goal? But vision is who you want to be when you grow up. We've all had our dreams and our visions and our goals when we were little, right? I want to be a fireman. I want to be this. I want to be that, you know. But your vision is who you want to be when you grow up. And then there's a process of getting to that place. And God is the one who directs your steps in pursuit of His vision for you, His goal. So, what is it that we treasure more than anything else? What we treasure will determine how we live our lives. Unfortunately, too many people, their treasure is just to find out the next score at the game. They spend all their time trying to keep up with the sports, keep up with the game. There's nothing wrong with sports, but the problem is it becomes an idol. It becomes their passion in life. It's the thing that they worship. They're more concerned about the sports game than they are people going to hell. Sometimes good things can become bad things. We can make idols out of good things. We can worship itself too. We can miss Jesus. We can come to church and miss God. Amen? When we come, it should not be just about me. It's got to be for my brother. It's got to be for my sister too. It's got to be about, I'm coming here because I want to bless God. I want to bring pleasure to God. I want to minister to God. I'm not just coming for what I can get out of it. As a matter of fact, I've discovered something that when I come to bless you, when I come to minister to you, when I come to minister to God, that what I need, God takes care of. And the reason why a lot of people are not being fulfilled is because it's all about them. It's all about what I can get out of it. Ouch. What's in it for me? Are you with me? It's like, how can I make your day? How can I bless you? How can I encourage you? How can I pour into you? When we serve, when we love others, we're serving God. When you seek God and His kingdom first, then everything you need, He said He'll add unto you. When He is your exceeding great reward, when He is your exceeding joy, when He is your treasure, when the Lord Himself, Christ, that's what Paul was saying. He says, I've given it all up for Jesus. All these accomplishments, all my religious training, He was a religious man. He said it's all like dog dung in comparison to knowing Jesus Christ, knowing the reality of His person, knowing Him in reality. To know Him is the greatest treasure of all, the greatest joy of all. He is our pursuit. We don't seek the things of God, we seek the Lord Himself. We don't seek His hand, we seek His face. And when you seek His face, His hand's reaching out to take care of your needs. When we walk in relationship with Him. So folks, we need to determine in our own hearts and pray about this. Say, God, what is your win for me? What is your goal for me? What is your desire? What is the high calling for me? Well, I can tell you folks, first off, that is that you may know Jesus. Amen. And the power of His resurrection. Also to be a partaker in His sufferings. Because when you decide to live for Jesus, it requires sacrifice. It means you're going to have to give up some lesser things that you may attain the greater things. It means sacrifice and suffering at times, because it also means that people are not always going to get you. They're not always going to understand you. They're going to misinterpret you. Even well-meaning good people will not always get you. They'll not always understand you. They can get all kinds of different ideas about you. All kinds of nice things will be said about you if you follow Jesus. That twisting devil, that Leviathan, that serpent will get in, if we're not careful, get in our head too. But he'll get into people's heads. He'll begin to twist things and turn things around. And he'll drop all kinds of garbage sometimes. Come on. Into the minds of people. And they'll imagine all kinds of things. They'll even imagine that you said certain things where you didn't. I want you to know, I'm talking from experience. I've been called a liar, you know. I've been called a heretic. You know, I've been excommunicated. All because I'm just in love with Jesus. Because I've been pursuing Him and not religion. And you know what? I wouldn't trade it for the world. All those things are actually good for us. Rejoice, for great is your reward in heaven. So it's not a bad thing. It's an honor. If you're misunderstood, if you're lied about, if your name... Oh, my name has been in the mud lots of times. It's been in the mud puddle. But you know what? It doesn't matter what man says. It doesn't matter what the devil tries to throw at you. What matters is that God sees everything. And He knows what the truth is, because He is the truth. And He will exalt you because you've been faithful to Him. Yea, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So to be conformable to His death, even to the death, amen, that it may mean that you and I, to follow Jesus and to pursue Him and make Him our passion, our goal, our desire, to know Him and to fulfill the purposes of God on the earth, it may mean death for us, folks. But how many know we're all going to die anyways? Why not go out with a bang? Why not go with a glorious entrance into heaven? With Jesus saying, "Well done! Boy, do I got something good for you. You are willing to suffer for me? Now you're going to rejoice with me. You're going to reign with me. That's my treasure, my reward, is seeing Jesus at the end, smiling and saying, "Well done." To me, that's a win. To me, a win is bringing as many people with me as I can to Jesus. God is raising up, even in this church, missionaries, evangelists, fire starters. God is going to use us to reach nations. I see it. It's coming. And I'm going to be talking to you about some other things that are coming up ahead. And I haven't got time to talk tonight about it. Some things that God's beginning to open up. But we have to be patient in the process. God is working some things out right now, some gigs. He's trying to get us, amen, solid. Amen? There has to be some structure. If we can build healthy, right? And there has to be some personal discipline for each one of us. We need to be disciplined. We need to be in the position. We need to be watchful. We need to be waiting. We need to be saying, wait for God to speak. If we're a servant. We have our loins girt about, ready to run when He says run. But not until He says go. And no, you're not quenching the Spirit. You're just waiting on the Spirit by waiting on His timing. So what is the win for you, folks? And I know a lot of folks in the world, it's a win for them is to have all the toys. To have the yacht, the big house, the this, the that, you know. Unfortunately, that's not a win, is it? There's nothing wrong with that stuff, but folks, that's not what life is all about. So if you see me in my yacht someday... I didn't say a yacht was wrong. But I don't care about a yacht. I care about the gospel. I care about the will of God. I care about the things of God. Amen? I care that my Lord is pleased. I care for you. I care that you are equipped, that you are blessed, that you are nourished, that you are strengthened, that you are encouraged to go forward for Jesus. That's what I want to see. I want to see you reach your destiny in Christ. I'm shifting. You've been hearing this for years, probably some of you now, a couple years anyways. This is the same message, folks. God's shifting us away from lesser things. He's saying, come up higher. Come up higher. There's not much time left. It's time to get in position, get activated, get filled with the power of God, and begin to step out. And when God says go, if He tells you to give something up, then get rid of it by all means. Because it means He has something better for you. Sometimes you've got to get rid of temporary things for eternal things. And most importantly of all, folks, is we've got to give our soul to Him. Our life. Saving your life, folks, really means that I'm going to protect myself. I'm going to protect myself from adversity. I'm going to protect myself from the opinions of men. I'm going to protect myself from persecution. And therefore, I have to compromise the will of God to do that. And if you try to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life, you give your life fully to God, surrender your life, He will do awesome, mighty things in our lives. Amen? He'll bring you into a place you never thought would be possible. Hallelujah.